Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated upon the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless us today, give us understanding of who we are in Christ. Lord, we're here to serve you. We're here to find out what we should do to serve you. We're not here to be popular. We're not here to be misunderstood by the world. We're here to be understood by those who you've saved, those who you have taught, and those who sincerely want to seek your will. Bless that now in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a man that was out in the desert, and he was out of water, and he was walking, and he didn't know what he would do. In a far off distance, he saw a man standing at a table. So he hurries as fast as he can the several hundred yards until he gets there, and he said, I need water. And the man said, I don't have water. He said, I'm selling ties. And he had a whole table full of neckties. And he said, but I need water. He said, I don't have any water. I can't help you. But I do have a tie that would match that outfit you got on. He said, sorry, mister, all I need is water. The man said, well, he said, I'll help you out. About 3 miles down, there's a real nice restaurant. If you go that direction, you'll find it. And they have all the water you will ever need. And he thanked him, and he started walking off slowly. Several hours later, that same man came crawling back. The man said, did you miss the restaurant? He said, no, I found it. And he said, then why are you back? He said, they wouldn't let me in without a tie. My brother-in-law and I was in Florida, and we decided to go to this real nice golf course he lives in Jacksonville, up in Georgia. So we got up early in the morning and drove about an hour and a half into Georgia, and we got to the golf course, and we go in, and we get ready to pay, and they said, you can't golf here. I said, really? They said, you have to have a shirt with a collar on it. And both of you have on nice t-shirts, but no collar. Now, we have them for sale, starting at $69 a shirt. And I said, we'll be back. And we got in the car, and we drove off to some dollar store and found the ugliest shirt we could find. When you find an ugly shirt in a dollar store, you know they're there because they were an ugly shirt to begin with. So we both bought matching shirts with a collar and went back, and the guy went, he said, you qualify. There are standards for almost everything. When I was in the Navy, there was a uniform that I was given, and I was to wear that uniform. Matter of fact, they told us whether we could wear a raincoat that day or not. And it was according to what the weatherman said it was going to be that day, whether we wore a raincoat or didn't, we're not allowed to wear the raincoat. Well, what if the weatherman was wrong? Weathermen are never wrong. You got wet if it rained and the weatherman was wrong. If you're in the band, there's a uniform that you wear in the band. There are certain things that we do in order to conform to who we are and what we are. Now, God is a creator. And God created the heavens and the earth. God created the church. God created marriage. There are certain things that God creates. And God said, here's the way it works. If you do it some other way, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to fit. Because I made the church to fit in the world to draw people to me. Now, first of all, we need to get a sense of how big God is. And I want to read an excerpt from Max Lucado's new book. God chose to create. In the beginning, God created. With one decision, history began. Existence became measurable. Out of nothing came light. Out of light came day. Then came sky and earth. And on the earth, a mighty hand went to work. Canyons were carved, oceans were dug, mountains were erupted from the flatlands, stars were flung into the universe and sparkled. The sun became just one of million, our galaxy became just one of thousands, planets invisible threatened the sun, reared through the space at breakneck speeds, and stars blazed with heat that could melt our planet in seconds. The hand behind it was a mighty God. With his might, he created as naturally as a bird sings and a fish swims. He created just as an artistic artist can paint and a runner can run. He is the creator. He was the creator through all. A tireless dreamer and designer. From the palette of the ageless artist came splendor before there was a person to see it. His creation was pregnant with wonder. Flowers didn't just grow, they blossomed. Chicks weren't just born, they hatched. Salmon didn't just swim, they leaped. He must have loved it. Creators relish creating. I'm sure his commands were delightful. Hippo, you won't walk, you'll waddle. Hyena, a bark is too plain. Let me show you how to laugh. Look, raccoon, I'll give you a mask. Come here, giraffe, and let me stretch your neck a bit. And on he went, giving clouds their puff, giving the oceans their blue, giving the trees their sway, giving the frogs their leap. The mighty wed with the creation, and the creation was born. He was mighty, he was creative, and his love, even greater than his might and deeper than his creativity, was one all-consuming characteristic, was love. Water must be wet, a fire must be hot. You can't take the wet out of water and still have water. You can't take the heat out of fire and still have fire. In the same way, you can't take the love out of this one who lived before time and still exists, for he was and is love. Probe deep within him. Explore every corner. Search every angle. Love is all you find. God, to the beginning of every decision he made, and you'll find it. Go to the end of every story he has told, and you'll see it. Love's no bitterness, no evil, no cruelty, just love, flawless love, passionate love, vast and pure love. Because God is love. As a result, an elephant has a trunk with which to drink. A kitten has a mother from which to nurse. A bird has a nest in which to sleep. The same God who is mighty enough to carve out the canyons is tender enough to put hair on the legs of a Matterhorn fly to keep it warm. The same force that provides symmetry to the planets guides a baby kangaroo to its mother's pouch before the mother knows it is born. And because of whom he was, he did what he did. He created a paradise, a sinless sanctuary, a heaven before fear, a home before there was human dwelling. No time, no death, no hurt. A gift built by God for his ultimate creation. And when he was through, he knew it was very good. But it wasn't enough. His greatest work hasn't been completed. One final masterpiece was needed before he would stop. Look at the canyons to see the Creator's splendor. Touch the flowers and see his delicacy. Listen to the thunder and hear his power. But gaze on this, the zenith and the witness of all three. And imagine with me what may have taken place on that one day. There are five words in the Bible. Just five words. And he made the stars. Five words. He created the universe. But when he built the tabernacle, he gave us 50 pages of instruction. The Bible says, now this is the main point of all things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which is the Lord erected and not man. The tabernacle, Moses was given those instructions on how to build it because the tabernacle was showing man who God was. The tabernacle, everything in it. From the beginning, the start of it, to as you walk through it, everything was God. The Ark of the Covenant held the staff that Moses had. It held the Ten Commandments. It held the showbread. And on it was a mercy seat in order to show Jesus' blood was shed, and it was sprinkled upon the mercy seat, and that's where they would sprinkle the blood of the animals. The inner veil separated man from God. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was split from the top to the bottom in the tabernacle that Solomon had built. In order to show us that things are different now, we have access to God. Every human being has access to come to God, and God will come into him and sup with him and change him into an eternal being rather than a finite being. The altar of incense was there in order to show that men should pray. And the table of showbread was there to show that God fed the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness with manna from heaven to show us that God will feed us. We are a Christian. We live in with eternal values, and God will take care of us. The golden lampstand was there in order to show that God was the light of the world, and it never went out. It was lit with olive oil, and it stayed lit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just as Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and you cannot put that light out. The brazen altar that stood in the courtyard where they sacrificed the animals is the same as what Jesus did when he hung on the cross for our sins, to show us that there is a heaven, that there is something bigger. And God said, since I am in you, those of you who I am in, I call you my church. Don't get this wrong. Only saved people are the church. Other people may attend church. Other people may go to church. But until you have surrendered to Christ, you don't know the church. You're still living in this box of less than 100 years or so. You're still living with the values of gaining the world. But when you see Jesus Christ and you invite him in, everything changes. The way you look, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you joke, everything changes. And God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And God gives us chapter after chapter, book after book in the New Testament on how to build a church. A church is believers that come together. And we are to go in the highways and the byways and show the people what Christ looks like, what he acts like, how he loves. Not to go out and condemn the world and point your finger at them and tell them how bad they are. They already know how bad they are. The Bible says they're condemned already. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And our church service should build up the saints so they can go out in the world and bring others in. And you lead them to the Lord out there. Or you get them close and we'll reap them in here. One thing that I've known from the time that God called me in the ministry, I am here to minister to saints, to Christians, to get you to live better, to look better, to walk better, to show you what the uniform looks like, so that the world will be attracted to it. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The churches today do not lift up Christ. They do not look like Christ. So we've got to come up with other ideas in order to get people to attend the building that we call church. So we dumb down the gospel. We don't say things like being born again. We don't say things like you need to repent. We don't say things like you need to be saved. We don't say things that you need to be holy as he is holy. We don't say things like that in the modern church, because it might be offensive and it may not be politically correct. Well, let me tell you something. God wasn't no politician. God was the creator and is the creator, and God said, here's the way it'll be if you want it to work. Have you ever had a kid that you've been trying to show them how to put together a model airplane? Or you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle? And each piece has to fit. And if you put the nose cone of that airplane on the end of the wing, it isn't going to look like an airplane anymore. And if you change what God told us to do about building a church, it isn't going to look like a church anymore. It's going to look like a club. Well, I've been saying this for 40 years. If you want to go to a club, don't join a church. Join the Elks or the Moose or something. They do a much better job at being a club than we do. They too have rules. God said, I'm not going to force these rules on you. That's legalism. If I've got to tell you what you do and what you don't do and what's right and what's wrong, then I am denying the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. And the Bible says a spirit within you will teach you. Just because it's wrong for me, it may not be wrong for you. I had a grandmother, holiness lady. She wore sleeves to her wrist. She wore dresses to her ankles. For my grandmother to show her elbow or her knee would be sin, because she would be doing it for her own will against what she felt God's will was for her. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We don't rebel against God. We don't do things that are wrong. Now, sometimes we will grow and we'll realize that God isn't as concerned about you showing your elbow as he is showing his holiness. For years and years and years in the Church of God pulpit, you weren't allowed to wear a necktie. They preached against neckties. Why? Because they were worldly. Businessmen and people of business wore neckties. And we're of the kingdom, so we're not going to try to look like the world. I think it's F.G. Smith changed that. F.G. Smith was preaching over here at Payne at camp meeting. And they asked him to preach on neckties because some of the men were starting to wear neckties and some of the people didn't like it, so they wanted him to straighten them out. So there's a man sitting out there, and he said, oh, somebody wanted me to... I was asked to talk about neckties. Somewhere in a sermon, he just stopped and said that. He said, sir, would you give me your hat? And the man handed him his hat, and he took his hat, and he took the ribbon off from around this hat. and he hung it around his neck. He said, "Now, I don't really see any difference on where you put it." And it changed. The entire movement changed. We have some things that we're hung up on that we think that makes us different or better than the world. But we have some things that we overlook that make us a church. What makes us a church? One thing that makes us a church is we pray for people who are sick. The Bible says if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And we don't beg you to come on Sunday mornings. We don't even mention anything other than the altars are open. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you see these altars filled because we see results from the prayer. Because it's a church. When you know the hearts of people, we have different soloists, and they sing different styles of music. But it all comes from the heart, and they love the Lord. And I'd rather see somebody go off note a couple times that loves the Lord than somebody that has it just right and don't know who he is. I'd rather have some preacher say, "I seen something," than "I have seen it and hadn't seen anything." When it comes to the kingdom of God and building the church is a praying people. That's what we do. Because we believe that there is one greater than us, the one that created this world. He's the creator. We believe that he is the one that dictates what we do at church. The Bible says that they sang together in the church. They sang a hymn. The Bible says they prayed together at the church. Now get this one. They ate together. We got a spaghetti dinner after church. And if you don't have any money, you can still come eat. Because we have all things in common there. If you don't like spaghetti, you can come and give an offering and set. Whatever. They had explored God's word. And remember, when the church first started, they didn't have the New Testament. They were showing who Jesus was from the Old Testament. And we have a new tabernacle today. And he serves us in heaven, Jesus Christ, and he comes into us. And we are to walk in his holiness. For when we, as I said earlier, when we lay down our body as he laid down his body, he was resurrected with a new body, and we too can be resurrected with a new body. And that new body will not crave the things of sin because you're seeking God. You know who he is. There won't be any jealousy in a God-believing church. I said to somebody the other day, I'm not jealous. I don't care. I mean, I hope the preachers that preach behind this desk out-preach me 100%. I'm not jealous. Never been jealous of Pastor Kay, Pastor Risen, Pastor Barnett, Pastor... I'm not jealous. God put me here. And it's a Bible church. It's his church. I can't go till God tells me to go. He's been pulling on my coattail some. I have no intention on going anywhere. Because God is blessing the church. It's hard to... I'm sure if Terry and I moved to Florida, we could find a church. But we wouldn't find this church. They gave, the Bible says. They gave money. They gave sacrificially, and they gave their offerings. That's a Bible-believing church. The needs of paying the electric bill, paying the gas bill. I understand we're going to need a new refrigerator. Ours is beyond like $800 to fix it, and I just heard that this week, and guys that worked on it think it'd be better off to buy a new one, so we need some more money. But you know what? People give. That's the way a true church works. So if you want to be part of the church, be holy, pray, give, sing, listen, Don't try to make a church or find a church that conforms to your ideals. Find a church that you can conform to His ideals. It don't matter how big a church is. It don't matter how beautiful a church is. A dead church is a dead church. I want one that's alive. And I thank God that we have one here at Heritage. You need a tie to get in. No. Need a salvation experience to get in. No exceptions. The motto of the Church of God is a born-again experience makes you a member. That means that you see Jesus. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles, to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe as they many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had things in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who should be saved. Men build dead churches. God builds churches that are alive. There's no substitute. Jealousy, envy, strife, hatred, high-mindedness come from Satan. It has no place in your church. It has no place in your marriage. It has no place in your relationship with the people that you work with in church. We're here to encourage one another. And I've said it over and over, I will not do a job that someone else can do because I don't need that in order to build me. But you may need it. So I'm going to let you have it. I came here, I was 35 years old. Most of you know I played baseball all through high school and grade school. I played softball when I was in the Navy. I got out of the Navy, I still played softball. And I came here at 35 years old and I could still play softball. But I didn't. Because the coach would have put me in and somebody that needed that would have had to set the bench. And I wasn't going to do that. Sometimes we as Christians can take a step back in order to help someone else to grow. A dead church, the people will get jealous when that happens. A live church, they won't. I don't worry about Terry. Not jealous. Why? Because when God's in it, nothing can happen to it. So you keep God in it. These husbands and wives that are accusing their husbands and wives of things that, I don't know anything worse than being accused of something you have never done. I don't know anything that will break up a friendship any more than accusing someone of something they didn't do. If I accused Michael of robbing a bank in Washington, D.C., and he said, Pastor, I was never in Washington, D.C., you know what he'd think of me? I don't trust him. Even though it wasn't true, he would think, jealousy will tear everything up you have. It will destroy everything you have. And it will definitely destroy a church when people get jealous of other people in a church. I have fought that devil for 30-some years since I've been here. People that don't want someone else to do something. This is God's church. Eric, you're leading a class. I married them 15, 16 years ago, right? How long? 12 years ago. Almost 13 years ago. For 12 years, they didn't attend church. You came last year or year before? 2 years ago, so 11 years they didn't attend. He came and he said, Lord got a hold of me. And God told me to come here to church. Now he's teaching an adult class. You're going to see somebody on fire for God. Watch him. People tell you to cool down a little bit. Don't listen to them. Stay on fire. Preach holiness. Teach it. Well, Pastor, we have people been here for 15 years, don't have a class. So what? I'll do like D.L. Moody does. You want a class? I'll give you one. That room's open on Monday nights. It's open on Tuesday nights. Get a group together and come in. You got a class. D.L. Moody would take people and say, you want to teach Sunday school? Yep, and he built the biggest Sunday. He started Sunday school in Chicago. They come in, they say, he said, would you like to teach Sunday school class? Sure. He'd take them into the building. He said, here's your room. Well, where's the people? He said, well, go get the people. It's your class. That's the way it works. We have several adult Sunday school classes, and you will love any one of them that you go into. I think we have 5 going right now. We could use about, we have 4 or 5 Bible studies going on. We could use 4 or 5 more Bible studies, 2 or 3 more Sunday school classes, till we get to 100%. Till we get to 30% are coming from outside, coming in, because they're seeking. A Bible-believing church does it the Bible way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Proverbs 16:25 and Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end is the way of death. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, we live in a country that has lost its code of conduct because it's lost its relationship with you. Because the churches do not stand for what you want. They stand for bigness, but there's no unity. Well, Lord, I know there's some big churches that are great churches that you have blessed. And Lord, you know, I'm talking about the ones that try to change and become more worldly so they can get the world into them. And the church is your church with believers and your people. And Lord, we want to win people, but we want to win them to you, not to our building. We want to win them to you, not to our doctrine. We want to win them to you so that their lives change, so they can have eternity in their heart. Lord, help us to be like you so we can show them what you look like. Just like the tabernacle of old looked just like you, may we also have your image. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.